Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Here on your dial. You know, it's all about attitude. Isn't it all about attitude? It's all about how you see it. One wonders what the newspapers have as their attention every week as they publish, what they publish for us to see. You know, do they put things up there so that we will look at them and criticize them? Do they put things in the newspaper so that we, or others, can just sit there in judgment and say that rotten person? Part of good newspaper, and good I use loosely, business, is to put into newspapers things that will engender hostile feelings in you. So if they show you something about, you know, woman who is abandons her children and goes off and they find her in California in a sex trap, that's okay, because now you say, see, she abandoned her children. What's the matter with her? And you get angry at her. So we're suckers, you know, we're suckers. We look around and we're sucker bait for anything, you know, that'll catch our attention. And they want to catch your attention. They want to catch your attention to sell a newspaper. That sells a newspaper. Sometimes they want to catch your attention to buy a product. Buy a product, you wrap it in red, you say it's going to save your life and it's going to make your husband, you know, have everlasting sexual prowess. You know, and you kind of think about buying that product. So what are they doing to us and our poor little fertile minds that are just out there, nice, innocent way, like we've been ever since the creation of humankind? Well, we have attitudes, and we have attitudes, but, you know, sometimes our attitudes aren't our own. And I've been watching very carefully how they have been shaping people's attitudes towards Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton is a perfect ploy for this. Why is Paris Hilton so popular? Because it's perfect to project everything you have onto Paris Hilton. Any animosity you feel, any anger you feel towards her beauty, her sexuality, her money, her family money. They're going to have a get-out-of-jail-free party. You know, I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. But the attitude, she's one of the most popular people on the face of this planet. And what has Paris Hilton done? Nothing. She existed. Existed but was presented to you in such a way that you would get a chance to get angry at her. With very few people loving her deeply, although when she was in jail, she did get an awful lot of admirers and people who felt terrific about her. So you wonder, how did they shape that? I was sitting with a friend the other day, and there was another Paris Hilton release on TV where she talked about the trials of being in prison. You know, about how she couldn't change her clothing, and she had some problems with, you know, and it was the most difficult ordeal of her life. And I heard the snickers all around from people, and it was almost like they were giving you a piñata to hit. You know, they were saying, here it is, my friends, here's a target for you. You could punch it around all you want, slap it up, maybe you'll get a present by doing it. So there seems to be, our negativity seems to be looking for a place to go, and therefore when we find a place for our negativity to go, without any consciousness, we might just dump on it. As in 9/11, you know, somebody comes along and says to you, ah, those guys with the secret bombs who are in Iraq who have these weapons of mass distraction, you know, they're going to come at you and they're going to do things to get your attitude. Now you get angry at them, and now it allows us to march in and take over the oil fields. You're so easy to manipulate. Your negativity is so easy to manipulate. There's a thing about passive-aggressive people. This is Armand Mill with you with the Positive Mind, talking about negativity and positivity and how to develop a positive attitude. We're going to look at the need to be negative, the need for that, the beginning of it, the origins of it. So let's take a look at the beginning of all of this. When evolutionary psychologists notice a universal aspect of how people perceive the world, they make an assumption that a slice of human nature must have been a picture for our different ancestors, But what did, where did this idea of happiness come from, and where did this idea of negativity come from? It seems that we have, and all animals have, an attraction to sameness. That which is the same, we feel safe with. That which is different, we are programmed to reject. Programmed to reject. Now, not for me, that which is different, you know, makes me happy because it's different and I can learn from it. But for most people, that which is different automatically has a program in you to reject it. Therefore, if you see somebody of a different race, a different culture, you know, that's why so many people who have reject and become racists and, you know, because you're taught how not, how to reject that which is different. You're taught, it's in your genes. This is the way you were brought up. This is in your genes, number one, and then genetic inheritance for survival is reject that which is too different. Don't let it around you because it may eat you up. And then your parents reinforce that. They tell you stay within your family, stay within your group, don't marry a Jewish boy. You know, they would the whole idea of staying within your culture, staying within, keep it in tight. Don't get out there, don't see news. So what happened to humans? Humans did an amazing thing. They developed a program called the positive mind on WBAI, and this was the next stage in evolution of humankind. They developed this program on WBAI that said, oh, no, 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 don't just reject that which is unusual, welcome it. And a bunch of people said, welcome it, welcome the newness, welcome the unusual. So, for example, if you're walking across the street and you see six people on a cell phone, and you look and you see, I remember this first, it was like 5 years ago in France, cell phones were more popular than they were here because they don't have as many successful landlines. So when cell phones came out, they were just everything. French Telecom was the king of the earth, and they were selling cell phones, and everybody had a cell phone. So everybody walked down the street on a cell phone. When I was a kid, if you heard somebody talking and there was nobody else with them, you'd think they were schizophrenic, right? Nowadays, people talk all the time, and I listen to people's business everywhere I go. So I think about it. You know, sometimes I stop somewhere and I'll have a bite to eat, and there'll be some people on a cell phone, and I'll think, what a wonderful thing. They can have dinner with their families, even though their families are so far behind. And I'll be doing that, and someone will say, I wish people would just shut off their cell phones. I wish people would just not, and, you know, and they get angry at people. That's because you're primed for that anger. So a question is, what makes you see the negative as opposed to the positive? Well, one question we say, genetic inheritance. You know, there it is. You're naturally primed to not like the new things. But there's more to it. Mood makes a difference. Mood. If you just had a fight with your husband and you're on the train and you just, you felt you were brutalized by him, and then somebody speaks to you, you might bark at them, you may scream at them. If you have attitudes, if you are in a bad mood that day, that bad mood may result in your perception, what you see. So Paris Hilton could be in one mood. You could look at it and say, what a little freaky thing. That little nature, and there she is saying that she's learned so much from her prison stay. And you could one day look at that and say, what an odd thing. What an interesting part of our world. Or at another time, you could look at it and just feel really angry and rageful. But you see, if you're angry and rageful, if you are negative, if you feel this negativity towards things, it, the world, you're in trouble. It means you carry your history with you. Now, it's not just your own history. You're carrying an attitude that your family probably had, right? Didn't your family have that same attitude, negativity? They would talk about things sarcastically, and if you were to say something like, oh, what a beautiful sky, they'd say, oh, yeah, but it's prettier in Arizona. There's just some negative to everything because they're going to show you how smart they were. And so negativity all over the family. The family never celebrated anything great. That's one that'll affect you. The other is you might be depressed. we're talking about negativity and positivity, and let's talk about negativity and depression. I'm a mental health practitioner, and as a licensed clinician, when people come to see me and they are depressed, depressed people frequently have one thing to say. They say, I have an unusual vision into the world, and I see that the world is a selfish place. It's a negative place. People are miserable, and there is no meaning to life and no meaning to my life. Now, that is a classic statement by many depressed people. Now, that means, person who says that, are they depressed? The answer is yes. That's usually the statement of a depressed person. Is it true? Yes. Yes, life is meaningless. Yes, your life may have no meaning. Yes, at the end of things, you may be nothing, you know. But maybe. But that's not going to take away your spirit and your will. For many people, the perception that life is a horrible thing is what keeps them going. So they're like curmudgeons, you know. That's WBAI attracts these people because our radio station focuses on some of the negativity in the world. We look at it, we expose it, we put it out there, you know. Now, of course, so do the other stations, but they do it in different ways. They do it with hoots and whistles. Horns and whistles? Horns and whistles. They're gonna convince you, you know, they want you to see the war. They want you to see these different things. They gear you. But WBAI is always going to expose something. That means attracted to WBAI are going to be negativists. People who tend to be negative, they tend to be attracted to the negative. And therefore, when there's a meeting of people at WBAI, you're generally going to see a lot of down attitude rather than up attitude, because it's a collective place for people who have, in general, a negative attitude, criticism. But that doesn't make it wrong, you see. I look at WBAI, and I'm happy to be a part of this station, because I love what they do and how they are in this world. And even with all that, all the people are beautiful, and the station is beautiful, and what they do is essential. So I don't see it as a terrible thing. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, talking about what is it that makes you perceive things in the negative. Let's look about the theory of link versus flow. That sounds like the name of two people. Here's Link, here's Flo. Flo, I want you to meet Link. Well, actually, I'd love Flo to meet Link. The idea of Flo versus Link is, Link is making associations between something you see and the past, and making another association with a projection of the future. So let's say you look at something and you say, you see an accident on a road, and you say, oh my God, that's a horrible accident, and you remember some accident in your past life, you know, that happened, and then you project onto that, you see, that's why people shouldn't drive, and you have this whole future thing connected to it. Linking is when you link a negative thing to your own past and your own future, and by linking, it gives you a certain amount of power. By linking and saying, you know, that's why you have to be careful, that's why you have to buy insurance, the future teaches you, you have to be careful in the future, those are links. People think in links. People think in links when it comes to achievement. For example, if I get my new job, I'll be happy. If I have a child, I'll be happy. If I buy that house, I'll be happy. You know, I'll be happy if I get enough money. I'll be happy if I win the lottery. I'll be happy if. Those are links. Get it? L-I-N-K-S or L-Y-N-X, however you want to spell it, they're links. It's the links approach to life, if only. You know, if you're living an if-only life, it doesn't work out. Because no matter where you go, you have future links. You have other links of more achievement. What does seem to work instead of links is flow. Now, what flow means that you take and appreciate fully being in the present, and you embrace the present as closely as you can without judgment or negativity. Now, that's the difference between happy people and unhappy people. Happy people embrace the present. They're happy with what is. They're here. Unhappy people are here tomorrow or here yesterday. So what we need is more flow. Mahali Csikszentmihalyi. I promise that's his name. Csikszentmihalyi. A psychologist at Yale. How could he be? Has concluded that the people who tend to be happier are those who report experiencing more flow. Now, he coined the term in a 1975 book that was based on a whole bunch of interviews he did, and he called it the flow experience. And the idea of flow is be here now. Be here now. Start off here now. Start off here, not in the future, not in the past. Start here. Listen to people. Look at people. Understand people. Appreciate people. See what you could do. The power of positive thinking. Why think positivity? You know, positively. Why? Because if we think in the other terms, it creates more linking. So we have to find a way. So, my friends, when you find yourself in serious judgment of something, like I saw the Michael Moore film the other day, and in watching the Michael Moore film, I looked at the presentation of the insurance situation of the United States compared to the rest of the world, and I thought to myself, what a marvelous thing. What a marvel that we have a society that allows this film to be shown. And with that, that this film is being able to expose a need, and that based on this film, the next president is probably going to be elected, who's going to be in favor of a good health care bill. Because health care kind of just got filled up. It just can't do anymore. Insurance companies are not bad people. They're just people trying to make money. The American dream. They are linking. They link. If we have a company and our company makes money, then we will be in business. So an insurance company goes in business not to lose money, not to serve people, but to make money. And the way that an insurance company makes money is they get more premiums from people than they pay in premiums. Well, that makes sense. And if you get more premiums from people than you pay in claims, you're going to make money. If you pay more claims than you do get in premiums, you're going to lose money. So back in the 60s, a lot of people who had these insurance plans that insured just about anything, right, they would go to therapy, they would go to acupuncture, and it would be paid for by insurance. And the insurance companies were getting raked over the coals because people were doing things they didn't need to do, and the insurance companies were going bankrupt. They were going broke a little at a time. So we, who were the exploiters of the insurance companies when we knew that we could, have created this controlled insurance company called Managed Care. An amazing thing. And then we created it, and now we hate it and judge it. And we say, okay, something else has got to come along. Good, 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 good. I'm happy to see that. But, of course, you could look at it and think it's a horrible, terrible thing and that we're doomed. It's about attitude. It's about mood. You know, mood is such an important thing. What's your mood? Are you with somebody you love today? What's your mood like? Are you in a down mood? Do you bring the person you love downness? Do you? Boy, that's a really wonderful thing, don't you think? All right, you do it once in a while. Right? How about 2 days of downness? I met a man the other day who said he and his wife, they just basically hate each other. They're always negative with each other. Yeah. Isn't it all right to live this way? Our telephone number here at the DeMel Center at the Positive Mind is 212-209-2900. You know, we have just a couple of more weeks before we start our fund drive, and we are currently testing a program which we may be getting. Did you ever, I'm going to speak to Jonna, one of my associate producers here. Jonna, did you ever count up that number that's in that box? Do you know what it is? A rough idea how many programs are in there?
I think about 15.
We're going to take a check. We want to see what we have. We may have something very, very special to offer you, but we're testing it first. We want to make sure it really works. So 212-209-2900, what about your attitude? What about it? What about your attitude? Where is it going to be? You want to hear something funny? A man said to me the other day, I met a very young man, 30 years old, extremely successful. Extremely successful guy. I said to him, I said, what's the secret? How did you get here? And he said to me, Armand, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I owe it all to one book. I said, what book? He said, Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie's book on how to succeed. What is it? What is it? How to succeed in business without really trying, I think is the name of the book. Yeah, Dale Carnegie's book. And he, I said, what was the tenet of that book? I think I remembered the book. And he said, they said, Dale Carnegie said one very important thing. People have no interest in your negative attitude. They don't care unless it feeds them in some way. They actually don't have any interest in your attitude. He said, if you want to really learn something, learn how to listen to people. Learn how to listen and learn how to ask questions that prove that you're listening. And ask questions out of the interest out of your own heart. If you're not, he said, don't be phony about it. He said, but learn to listen. If you listen, you will be successful. Well, this man said that's all he's ever done. He said he never talks. He just listens. And he's got a positive attitude somewhere. But inside, I said, so what happened to you when you see somebody who's really talking stupid? You know, who's saying something that has no meaning. And he says, he just ignores it. It just kind of floats over him. And he maintains his attitude of positivity that people respond so much to. It's tough. It's tough. And I know it sounds like easy words. Get a positive attitude. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult to kind of turn it around, but you've got to get the idea of it. The idea of it is if you see yourself being negative, if you see yourself caught in that, ask yourself what's going on. Not just why am I so negative, but what's going on. Don't believe that you could be so mad at the bus driver that it could really take your whole day with negativity. Don't believe that the person you work with in the office can be the one person who's going to make you miserable. Don't believe that. Examine it instead. One of the things to do is if you find yourself on a negative tear, ask yourself, take the person out of it. Now, you have to take whoever's in it. Let's say you get angry at somebody you work with. Take them out of the picture and say, where has this situation existed in my life before? Where have I felt like this before? What is specifically like this? Like, let's say somebody corrects you at work and they do it badly, and you respond ultra-negatively. You ask yourself, where is this familiar to me? How is this familiar to me? Because, you know, I mean, people could do stupid things like correct you badly, and you could laugh at them on some days. Then at other days, you're ready to bite their head off. 212-209-2900. We're taking in one of your calls right now. This is Armand Mill. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Armand?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Armand. This is Jasmine. I'm calling you because I just got home from a situation that was all about change and how I'm going to react to it. I turned on the radio and how, you know, synchronistic, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Amazing.
So I felt really compelled to call you. There's a big change going on in the workplace, a lot of people being excessed. And I was just at a union meeting, and right after the union meeting, I just walked right into Trinity Church, and I just sat for a while just to try to shake off all of that negativity. Because I'm trying to approach the situation with a sense of, hey, you know, it's just going to be something new and something different, and it's going to be okay. But then when you're with all these other people who are, you know, in the fear mode, it's really, you know, difficult to, you know, to be with that higher, you know, feeling of it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, it's kind of, Jasmine, you know, if you think about it, it's the most natural, fear is the most natural, invasive, pervasive, contagious of all emotions. You know, so when somebody like people in the union or people who are getting excess, who are losing their jobs, get together, they're scared.
Mm, absolutely.
And but nobody's saying, hi, I'm scared. No, they're saying, I'm angry. Oh, it's unjust. Oh, it's unfair. If they all said, oh, I'm scared, I don't know what's going to happen next, and they hugged each other and they cried, they would wind up with a beautiful attitude. In
you're
fact, the company would
right.
probably hire them right back and say, wait a minute, we need you because you have a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
But fear is what's used, you know. I know the other day I was looking at one of the great injustices of New York City is the rental laws. The fact that the rents go up and go up and go up and the poor people are being driven out of Manhattan, being driven out of New York, and it's becoming, New York is a city for wealth. So the Rent Guidelines Board meets and they're proposing a 5% increase. And the people are saying, roll back the increases, we want no increase, and they're screaming and hollering on both sides, and they settle for 3%. Mm. If you didn't have the negativity, you wouldn't have wound up at 3.
Yeah.
We need two sides everywhere, and when I look at it, even though I don't feel like I'm on one side or the other, I love watching two sides go into operation to find a balance.
Yeah.
You know, now you, going into that church, why do you think you went into a church?
Well, first of all, I had never been down to the Wall Street area before, and it was just an attraction as I was walking to go to my meeting, because it was right in front of me, and I had never been there, and it was beautiful. But I just wanted to regain a sense of tranquility and peace, you know, within myself, because there was just so many different factions at that meeting that I, you know, sort of walked out, you know, just feeling scattered and, you know, going, having gone back myself into fear mode. So how many times do I need to, you know, escort my mind back, you know, to the present moment before I kind of shake all that off? So that's what I was doing in there.
Beautifully said. How beautifully said. How many times do I have to escort my mind back to the present, to the flow, as opposed to the links and the fear? Beautifully said, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Jasmine, was that Trinity Church you said you went in?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you went into Trinity Church?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, that place is amazing.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It's an amazing church. You know there's a fortune buried underneath that church.
No kidding.
No, that's a thing from one of the movies with Tom Hanks about, you know, how underneath Trinity Church is this giant fortune. But that's been there forever.
Yeah, that is very beautiful.
Yeah.
I should have stopped by BAI. I forgot what neighborhood I was in.
We're right there on the other side of Wall
there
Street.
There you go.
Trinity Church on one side, WBAI on the other.
Well, then, missed opportunity. I'll have to go back.
Next time.
Yeah.
Thanks
well,
for
thank
calling
you.
In.
I appreciate, you know, your topic for the day. It was so relevant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
good
you.
To hear you can keep your spirits up. This is Armand DeMille, WBAI. We're going to take more calls after our break. 212-209-2900. But please, first, a few program announcements, a little music, and then we'll be right back. Thank you. Carmen Fantasy by the Paganini Ensemble, which from a very old album called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, because it featured that song, Smoke Gets on Your Eyes, which I played yesterday. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI, trying to separate the positive from the negative. You know, a lot of people say, put on some great music and it'll always make me feel good. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. That's more link. Link versus flow. We don't want to have to add something to make us feel happy. See, if you give me a little heroin, I'll feel happy. Link. If you give me someone to love me, I'll feel happy. Link. If I sit in this church and I get quiet and I feel good with myself right this moment, flow. If I go home, if I find a quiet space inside of myself, if I admire this flower, if I look at it but not dependent on it, flow. So every time you've got a chance, or you've got a chance for happiness, and it comes through link, it also comes through flow, because the music doesn't make you happy. The music may distract you, like the book may distract you. And take you out, you know, for a while. But flow is that part of you, that gorgeous, gorgeous part of you that is a messenger of love to humanity. And I know you people out there. I know that you are the most loving, kind, beautiful, generous people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this program. And the fact that you are listening means that you're a kind person. Kind. And as kind people, imagine if I could take just a million of you and put you on this planet, you know, bring it to a party. Geez, you know, the floor would never be dirty because everybody would be picking up the dirt. Kind. People would offer each other seats. People would be nice to each other, even if they were a little challenged. Kind. But that's where it comes from. It comes from this inside spot of flow. But it's not association. So if you only feel happy when you make money, it's not going to happen. If you only feel happy when you get approved of by your boss, it's not going to happen. Find the flow. Find the spot. Even if, and that's what I think depressed people are very smart. Because what depressed people do is they very often isolate themselves until they get to that spot. See, they're depressed, 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 and then all of a sudden they feel this kind of lifting because they've made peace with themselves. And that's flow. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let me take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi. My name's Jessica.
Hello, Jessica.
I was just listening to your program, and, hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And I was just listening to you talk about attitudes and, you know, how people kind of have negative and positive attitudes. And I've always been kind of very high energy, and I've always been a happy child. And what's happening is as I get older and I have more experiences, I find it hard to, like, detach myself from the experience and just let it be. You know, I tend to linger on to the emotions.
What do you mean, linger on to the emotions? You mean if a negative thing happens, you stay with it a little longer?
I do. And then, I mean, eventually I'll get over it, but I'm afraid that it's going to change me, you know, because I like being the way that I am. And I'm afraid that if, you know, like, you know, right now I'm going through a hard breakup, I'm afraid that I'll leave not being the same person that I was coming in.
Yeah, and the fear of leaving, you know, the fear of losing it, is one of those links. Here we go again with the link. Afraid to leave your attitude. Afraid to leave your childhood. Very happy people throughout childhood. You see, I could perceive in you that you had difficulty with your father when you were young. And you were a happy kid, but you had trouble with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the trouble?
My father was very moody. We're very similar. You know, my father was, now he's changed a lot, but when I was younger, he was very, very, he's always been very passionate and moody, and you never know what to expect, you know, so sometimes he'd come home and, you know, he'd be angry and he'd take it out on us, you know, so I had a problem with my dad because, you know, first I didn't see him a lot because he was a very hard worker, and then he was very moody, so I never knew what to expect, so.
But he liked you a lot, didn't he?
Oh, he loves me, yeah.
Right. So because what did you do? He was negative and he got caught in some of his negative spaces and you were positive. You were this happy child and he kind of used you to pick himself up out of the basement. So your happiness was again linked, but it was linked as a counterpoint to your father's negative self, even though he had happy moments too. So your happiness was more in service of the family. And what happened later in life, like right now, you could just tell your father is getting a little happier, and you're getting depressed.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
my
like
father's
energy is shifting. He's getting to be in a better mood, and you're getting to be in a worse mood.
Yeah, and I'm also becoming like him in many ways. Like, as I'm getting older, I'm becoming more, I'm a very passionate person, and, you know, I'm becoming unpredictable in what I do, and, you know, it's... I don't know. It really scares people. It scares people away.
Now, who did it scare away? The last person you had a love relationship with, where you thought you had a great romance, and this guy ran away? He broke up with you?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, because of the way I am. You know, and when I'm good, I'm wonderful. You know, when times are good with me, they're
well,
really, really good.
What a wonderful thing for you to have done, to have gotten rid of somebody who was a surrogate father because he only loved you when you were a happy person, right? Mm-hmm. And then you saw this relationship and you said, well, wait a minute, is this going to be just like with my dad where he's going to love me because I'm such a happy person? And then you challenged him and you showed him the other side of you. And he said, oh, no, I'm just like your dad. I want only a happy person. And he runs off. That's terrific. How great for you. What a wonderful thing for you to learn. Because look at where you've taken yourself. You've taken yourself into a place where you've slid off being happy for other people to not necessarily being depressed, but sliding somewhere in the middle into the flow of who you are. What's a you is the question. And I can tell you from hearing your voice, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay no matter where you settle. You could settle and you could become moody and you could become negative and you could be, how old are you? Are you 46?
No, I'm 30.
You're 30. You got plenty of time. plenty of time to go through all of this, you know, and you're going to have a wonderful time to go through, and you're going to feel okay for it. And it helps to have a therapist around because a part of you is evolving, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going through a big change.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Find somebody you trust. Find somebody you trust. Let them give you a hand with it.
Okay. Thanks, Simon.
Sure. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Jennifer, right? Jennifer. Jessica. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand Mill. Hello there. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. I'll take one more call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, how do we actually go to that flow you were talking about? Like, how do we get there?
Oh, but you know how to get there, don't you?
No, not really.
Okay, so let me ask you about what happens to you. You get really nervous at times. Do you ever settle down and just look at what is in the present?
You know, I do. Sometimes I do.
I know you do. How do you do that?
I try to stop my mind from, you know, I meditate sometimes. And then at other times I just know that my mind is, like, really busy. So I try to just stop and see it, you know. But I wanted to see how I could do it all the time, kind of, you know.
Good. So let me recommend something to you.
Yeah.
When we say being in the present, meditation is good, but meditation has its dangers because meditation very often does not keep you in the present. It doesn't keep you here. It keeps you in a kind of a spatial here.
Yeah.
It's being aware of everything around you, seeing everything without judgment. Now, the key here is no judgment. Looking at it all as part of the universe that you're in. So the key is no judgment. So sitting where you are now, are you at work or are you at home?
I'm at home.
Where are you?
At home.
You're at home. So right around you right now, what do you see that's around you? Just describe what it looks like.
Well, I'm looking outside and there's like a tree and people walking and cars and stuff.
Uh-huh. And how do you like the way you feel inside when you're looking out that window?
Good.
So anytime you look out that window, you could easily go to that place inside yourself. Now, without the window, what if you looked at a wall? Could you go to the same place?
You know, I could, but then I think I would be bored after
good.
A little while.
Great lesson you're teaching us.
Okay.
Boredom is not a real feeling. Boredom is a sensation that you have to get out of where you are. And one of the things that all the masters of the universe learn is that they have to allow boredom to dissipate, to dissolve. You surrender. One of the best examples in the world, and I'm going to give this to you as an exercise, if you go to a paint store, you can buy little square mirrors that are 1 foot by 1 foot. You know these mirrors that have backing on it? You paste them on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
They're like $1 or $2 at the most. You can sit on the floor and put that mirror on a chair. So now you're sitting on the floor and you're facing a chair, and this mirror is on the chair. Then I recommend you get a plumber's candle. A plumber's candle is those plain white candles that they sell in hardware stores that are very cheap, and it's just, you know, they're called plumber's candles because there's nothing about them that's fancy. You put that in a dish and you light it, and you sit there, and you have no other lights on, and you look at yourself in the mirror with the candle between you and the self. A thing happens. This is magic.
Wow, okay.
So you're looking in the mirror, and there's a candle between you. The candle is lit. And you're going to decide that you're not going to move until the candle goes out, until it flickers to the very, very end. And what happens in this case is you find yourself looking at yourself, and you see things you've never seen before. And then as the candle burns down, it creates shadows between you and the mirror face. And you see things in the mirror that you never saw, even imagined. And as it burns down, you've got to keep your eyes on yourself. You don't let yourself get distracted. You keep looking, and then you see yourself getting impatient. You want it to burn down faster, but you're going to keep sitting there and keep looking at yourself. This, I tell you, my friends, is one of the greatest of all experiences. I recommend it to everyone to do.
And okay, thank
looking.
You so much.
Sure.
Sit there till the entire candle burns down?
Well, let me finish. What's going to happen is the candle will go down, and then what's going to happen, it's going to flicker. But in this dish that you put underneath it, there's going to be a pool of wax. So the candle will flicker, the wick will flicker inside that wax, and you'll almost feel like you're dying. You'll feel like you're facing your death. You'll feel like you're waiting for the candle to go. And the candle will die, and it'll come right back. And it'll flicker out, and then it'll come right back. And instead of anticipating or requiring anything, you just keep looking at it until that candle goes. And when the candle finally goes, close your eyes and lay back. And you will have trained yourself to do a wonderful association with yourself.
Okay.
Great. What's your name?
My name is Prana.
Prana, would you call me or email me and let me know how that went for you?
I'll definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Sure. So I'm going to describe that again for a number of people as a way of getting with you. I remember I did this in a workshop once where I had 100 people doing this in a room. And we had a room and we had chairs and we had these mirrors. And people just sat on the floor looking at the mirror. Candle between them and the mirror. Plumber's candle was like 4 inches. And you lit it, and it took hours for it to burn. And when it finally burned out, yes, hours. When it finally burned out, people felt more connected to themselves and more peaceful than they ever had before. So give it a try. And those of you who do it, would you give me a send me an email and let me know about your experience? Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com. Armand at thepositivemind.com. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I just want to say hello to you and all the lovely people at the DeMille Center.
Great. Who is this?
My name's Roland.
Hello, Roland.
You know, the question of flow, I mean, it's something easy to find, but extremely difficult to hang on to.
Yeah, that's the trouble. You see, now link, again, the old link comes in when you find flow. You find flow and you hang on to it, and that becomes a link. You see, it's like when you get this place, and then you try to hold on to the place, then the place becomes a link. Flow is the existence in the present. You don't have to hold on to it. You just have to be here now. But as soon as your mind starts saying, oh, it's going away, oh, I'm leaving it, you know, you don't have to even do any of that. All you got to do is, like, if it leaves you, if everything leaves you, just go right back to it. Where am I? Here I am.
I've always been lousy at meditating.
Sure. Meditating is a different thing, and I understand. Well, it means that you've also always been an anxious person, you know? You've been somebody who's had anxiety and problems related to anxiety, right?
Well, you know, me and, 99% of the rest of the planet.
No, just you. The rest of the planet doesn't have any problems. You're the only one.
Everybody's fine.
Everybody's fine, just you. No, anxiety, specifically anxiety-related problems like, you know, compulsive behaviors and stuff like that. Does your mind get around that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I have my issues with compulsive behavior.
Yeah, that's it, because compulsive people tend to have ultra-active minds. You know, in a way it's a gift and in a way it's a curse. But what you've got is you've got a mind that kind of circles on itself and circles on itself and circles on itself. So what you're doing is interrupting the circle. What you're doing when you get into flow is you're stopping the association. The fact that you could do it for 10 seconds is amazing. The fact that you do it for 10 seconds and can't do it for a minute and then come back to it for another 10 seconds, that's great.
Yeah, I find a lot of solace in gardening.
And gardening's a good thing.
Oh, it is.
So thank you for calling in. What's your name?
My name's Roland.
Roland, of course. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi. Hi, you're on the air. 212.
Hi, you're on the air.
There he is. Hello there. All right.
You're on the air. There he is. Hello there.
I know we have somebody there, you know, we have somebody there, but it, sometimes because of the link and delay system, it gets pretty tough.
Hello?
Hello, you're there.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, I'd like to have a word with Armand.
You're speaking to Armand right now.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Oh, wow, he's right.
Oh, you know, I had a couple of viewers, a couple of listeners called in wondering about how to generate flow, so I kind of spent my life somewhat studying how to do that, so I thought maybe I could share it with you guys.
Sure, what do you got?
Okay, well, the first thing you should do is just remove yourself from the situation if you can. Sit down somewhere, just find a nice quiet place and start to breathe. Kind of like I'm doing right now, because I had to run away from a few people to make this phone call, right? So here we are, we're sitting and we're just breathing, right? And by breathing, we're oxygenating our brain. And part of doing that, we are starting to just settle down into our own body, our own skin. And the next thing we need to do is, if we're not feeling good or if we're not feeling fine, is we need to generate, okay, we need to put our mind into thinking, well, am I happy here? Okay. And most of us, if we're honest, will say, no, we're not. Okay. So from doing that, we have a wish to grow. We ask ourselves, you know, we have a wish to grow from our situation. Okay. So by doing that, we somewhat opening ourselves to the universe to grow out of it. Once you have a wish to grow, the next thing you could do is kind of think of some mentor or a teacher or a master throughout the time that has been here and say, what would they do? Or if you could access them in your heart or in your mind or in your body or by reading a book, okay, and start to resonate with that kind of quality of what that individual would represent within you. And you'll find that if you have a wish to grow, okay, and you're breathing, and you start to think about what this individual would do in this situation, you'll start to generate somewhat of a polarity in that sense.
We're short on time.
I know, that's why I'm talking really fast here, I'm sorry.
But you don't have to talk fast. I want to ask you something about yourself. Where were you before this? Before you located how to find yourself centered, which is what they call it, we used to be a crazy guy.
I was an absolutely crazy guy, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Think back. when were you a crazy guy? What year?
Well, pretty much since birth, I would say.
Until how long?
I would say around 21, around 18 to 21, I discovered something.
And it
started to alter the way I was thinking, feeling, perceiving the world, what I was putting into my head and my mind.
A wonderful thing. What's your name?
My name is Dimitri.
Dimitri, I want to thank you. I wish we had time to go through all of the lessons, but...
The last lesson is the most important one, and it's 1 second. Ready?
Sure.
Untap the tension that you're feeling within you. Where is it? Is it in your mind? Is it in your body? Is it in your gut? Where is that feeling? Is it emotional? Contact it, breathe into it, and start to surrender. Surrender all your tensions to the entire universe. And once you do that, you will start to generate that flow. Okay? So real simple, folks. Contact, surrender, and flow.
Contact, surrender, and flow. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. We have, good to be with you today. Good to take your calls. If you want to get a copy of today's program, you call 212-757-4488 or send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, ARMAND. Be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends.
You ever check it, man? How a nation who depend on tourism bounce back after a hurricane, a terror scare, an adverse travel advisory from a major market country, or civil unrest in the destination? That's what the Caribbean Dialogue for June 28 will be looking at, you know. The choices and challenges of making tourism the cornerstone of Caribbean economies. So if you even think about the subject at all, let me see you facing the place at the Brooklyn Public Library at Grand Army Plaza on Thursday, June 28 at 7 p.m. right there in the Trustees Room. For more information, call 917-202-2859 or visit www.caribbeandialogue.org.
On WBAI 99.5 FM, the Caldwell Chronicle is on the air. I'm Earl Caldwell. Tune in for our broadcast every Friday, 3 to 5 p.m., right here on listener-supported Pacifica Radio in New York City.